Morning, everyone. It is truly an honor to be up here. Terrifying still, but still an honor to be here. And Corey, thank you for the kind words. Thank you for the encouragement that you've offered right from day one, just in my life as a whole. And so it's good to be here. It's good to be part of this. And if this can be my offering, if God can make new wine out of me, he can make new wine out of all of us, right? And so let this be the story of our lives where God pushes us to create new wine. Let's open up God's Word today. We're going to read from John 1. We're going to read John's opening introduction, John 1, 1 through 18. It's just a beautiful portion of Scripture. And so let's open up God's Word here today. You'll find that on page 1027 if you're grabbing the Bible right out of the pews, so page 1027. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Through him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who has been sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born out of God. The Word became flesh and made its dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. John testified concerning this. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, we just come before you today. We thank you for your living word. These words were written so long ago that are so alive here today. God, may we just see you here in the next few moments. May we see what you're speaking to us today. And may this be our offering to you as we listen and to receive. Lord, this we pray. Amen. Welcome to 2020. It's a new year. It's a new decade. And as excited as I am for this new year, I'm also a little sad to see Christmas season come to an end. Students, I imagine some of you probably feel the same way. As fun as it is to have Christmas, it's kind of sad to see Christmas break come to an end. But ready or not, school starts for most of you tomorrow. I love Christmas. I love seeing all the Christmas photos. You see, it's like at Christmas time, it's like the one time a year that we make a conscious effort to try to get a family photo. And so I pulled a few family photos from this congregation that I'd share with them today. There's the guest of the honor. This is Ezekiel. He just got baptized here today. But man, what a cute picture. And I don't know who a photographer is, but certainly looks like somebody worth looking into. Here's another picture. You see a lot of pictures with ugly sweaters, and so here the Grunendijks, the Marsmans, the DeCocks, they gave us their version of that. Here's another one, Mata's with the matching. You see a lot of family jammies this time of year, and apparently they own a dog that's got lasers that can come out of their eyes. I want a dog like that. That seems pretty cool. We even get a glimpse into what a Canadian Christmas might look like. And I'm a little surprised it didn't look much different than ours, but I guess if we can get the bootsmiths kind of spread out just a little bit, maybe instead of candy canes on that tree, we'd see hockey sticks or something. Here's our family photo. This is one taken at my mom's house. It's all my parents' grandkids all together. And I like these photos. You know, it's fun to see all these photos, but I also don't think they actually give us a very clear representation of what this time of season really looks like. Because if we're being honest, there's a greater sense of chaos that comes than what you're going to see in these pictures. If a little more accurate picture of what Christmas looks like in my world is probably more like this, you know, where we have a little bit of a mess no matter where we go. And some of this is just from the busyness that we have, right? We keep our kids going, we go from one thing to the next, but some of this is just the fact I have a three-year-old that feels like she wants to open up anything that has wrapping paper in a bow. There is a sense of chaos to our lives. There's a sense of chaos to this time of season. Let's even get a few of these, like, boxes out there, too, right? These pictures are disappeared. These pictures are nice. Did I turn something off? All right, you work on that. I'll see what I can do up here. This is what life is like, though, right? It's unpredictable. There's a sense of chaos. There's a sense of unpredictability to it. There's these moments that we go through our life, and it's like, in our house, there has not been a whole lot of silent nights. There's not a whole lot of all is calm type of moments. What we end up having is, you know, we have shopping to do for food. We have shopping to do for gifts. We have to run from one party to the next. We have kids that are kind of screaming and all over the place. We have sickness to deal with. And amidst all the good and all the fun, even just to get this picture, we kind of have to kind of clear out a path just to make it so that the floor looks clear. And then I got to bribe my kids to actually sit in front of the tree. And then, thank goodness we live in an era where it's digital photography, because it takes like 50 pictures just to get my kids to even look at the camera. This is what the Christmas season is. It's busy. It's chaos. And there's a few moments along the way that I looked at my wife, Alicia, and we had this conversation of how do we make sure that our kids don't miss Jesus amidst all this other stuff going on? You ever feel that? In some ways, it's kind of silly to even bring this up because on one level, it's like, how do you miss Jesus? He's everywhere. He's in the songs. We have extra services. We talk about him all Advent season. We have billboards that say, let's keep Christ in Christmas. How do you miss Jesus when he's all around us? And yet at the same time, as we run from one party to the next, and our kids start melting down from a Christmas hangover, that we sometimes look around and we wonder that, he must be in here somewhere. And this is a tension that we feel in our life. And I know different seasons bring different times. Ever since I got married and had kids, this tension has certainly been a lot more. The chaos has risen. And some of this is because of the season of life that I'm in. I have crazy kids. And so sometimes the kids bring a different level of crazy. But I also sit there and wonder sometimes that is it possible that amidst all the good that comes with Christmas, and all the wonderful things that come with Christmas, all the family and all the things that we cherish and love, and the celebration of the birth of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, is it possible that we miss Jesus? The very reason that we gather to celebrate. This is not anything new. We read about this in our text. John 1 verse 10 says this, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Imagine that. Jesus came to the very creation that he made. He came to the very people that he came to save, and they did not recognize him. And those who did recognize him, some of them just did not receive him. In the busyness of our life, is it possible that sometimes we don't even recognize Jesus amidst all the fun and the good that comes with this season? And even if we do recognize Jesus, is it possible that maybe we didn't take the time to receive him? Is it possible that we didn't take the time and the space necessary during this Christmas season to really truly let it set in that the God of eternity, the God that is out there and here and is so big and powerful, has come to us in the form and in the flesh in baby Jesus? And this changes everything. Everything. I love the scripture that we just read. John 1, 1 through 18, this prologue is some of the most beautiful and rich verses that we have in the entire scripture. And whereas Matthew and Luke give us beautiful details about the birth of Christ, John gives us this overarching picture of the theology of the divinity of Christ. He takes a step back and creates a picture of Jesus that we don't get anywhere else in Scripture as clearly as we do right here. And in John, he gives us so many different themes that we could look at. He introduces ideas about light versus darkness. He introduces this idea of life, and he introduces this idea of glory. All these things came up in the Scripture that we talked about here today. But the one theme that John brings up so clearly in this is this idea that the eternal God has shown up in our world in the flesh, in the form of Jesus Christ. Scholars call this the incarnation. John doesn't waste any time getting to the point. He opens up his scripture, and John 1 verse 1 says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John uses this word called word. It comes from the Greek called logos, and it's really this where we get our word logic from. It's this thing, that this truth that kind of holds all things together. John uses this to refer to Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. And these first three words that we have right here, in the beginning, does this sound familiar to you? This shows up elsewhere in Scripture. Right in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis 1 starts off this way. Genesis 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." John starts off his gospel by saying, "In the beginning Jesus was Jesus." In the beginning, so John in his gospel points us right to the very beginning of the Bible, and he says, right there, right at the very beginning of time, Jesus was there. And he wasn't just here somewhere, he was right there with God when he started creating. And to make sure that we don't miss the point, he then says that Jesus was God. This is a truth that is so rich and so vital and so important to our theology and to the way that we live out our faith. And John doesn't mix words. He makes it very clear that Jesus was God. And to continue this theme, he goes on in verse 14. He says, "The Word became flesh, and he made its dwelling among us." This God of eternity, this God that was there when he created this whole world, showed up and made his dwelling among us. He became flesh and blood. He showed up in the human form of Jesus, and he made his dwelling among us. This word dwelling among us, the verb for that is skinu, which means to tent or to tabernacle. Really what this is a reference to the Old Testament when God came and he rescued his people from Egypt. They wandered through the desert on the way to the promised land. Tabernacle was this tent that they set up right in the middle of their community. This is what it looked like. Everywhere they went, they would set up this tent. In the middle of this tent, they would put the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God. Wherever they went, God was with them in the middle of it. Exodus 40, verse 34, says, "The cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." John, once again, takes what was common and understood to those people, and he points us right here in the New Testament, he points us all the way back to Exodus. He said, that God that was in that tent, that God that tabernacled with his people, was here in the flesh. John keeps going. That word, let me spend a little time on that too. That word also means to take up residence. Or as Eugene Peterson puts it in The Message, that Bible I just gave you, Lindsay, he says it this way: "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." What a rich image of what our God has done. How beautiful of an image that we have a God that just doesn't want to be near us, but he wants to be present with us in our day-to-day life. And if we take what we just read in verse 1 of John and also verse 14 in John, we kind of get a very clear image of what this God is all about. The Word was God, but the Word became flesh. The Word was with God, but then the Word moved in among us. And this is vital, and this is important, because for all the times in our life we sit there and we feel like God is distant or God is out there somewhere, this is God's reminder that he is close, he wants to be near, and he's not going anywhere. It's a beautiful, beautiful image of our God. Verse 14 continues, and it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And this phrase, grace and truth, shows up one more time, two verses later, and it says, "From the fullness of grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." There's something about this phrase, grace and truth, that John does not want us to miss. Thinking on this and going through this, this is a phrase that turns out to be very common in Scripture. This is a phrase that the people of John's time would have been familiar with, because there's ties back to the story of Moses. There's this time where Moses looked up to God and said, "God, I just want to see you. Can you make yourself seen so I can just, so others can see that you're with me?" And God actually agrees. So Exodus 34 gives us this story about how the goodness of God passes in front of Moses. It goes like this: "And then he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness.'" That phrase, love and faithfulness, where love comes from the Greeks, hesed, faithfulness comes from the word emet. Love, hesed, means goodness, kindness. Emet means truth. This phrase that we have here of God's steadfast love and faithfulness is synonymous to the phrase grace and truth. So for the third time here in this gospel, we have John referring back to the Old Testament, to stories that they would have been familiar with. First, it was the story of creation. John points us right back to Genesis and says Jesus was there. Then he points to the tabernacle as they wander the desert and said, just like that, Jesus is here among us. And now here, he says, this God is full of grace and truth, and he points us right back to the story that involved Moses. So what's the point? Love and faithfulness is equal to grace and truth. The point of all this is that our God, the eternal God, is here in the flesh, in the form of Jesus. That same God of the Old Testament is alive here today because of Jesus, which means that the same God who stepped into the emptiness and created something beautiful in Genesis can step into our world. In these times when we walk around where we feel empty, this same God can make something beautiful out of that. The same God who delivered Israel from slavery and brought them into freedom has come near and can give us freedom from the addictions that we might face in our life. The same God who parted the Red Sea is alive here today and can create a way to bring healing to your heart, your family, and your marriage. And the same God who guided Israel through the wilderness into the Promised Land has shown up in our world and will lead you and guide you through whatever 2020 has in store for you. This idea of grace and truth is at the core of who our God is. This grace and truth defines exactly why Jesus came in the first place. It's this grace that Jesus died on the cross to forgive us for our sins, and is the truth that he is the perfect sacrifice who can do this for us. He died while we were yet sinners. That's his grace, and he paid for our sins completely. That is the truth. And this truth goes right back to verse 12, where it says, "All who have received him, and to those who have believed in his name, he gave the rights to become children of God." For those of us who understand this, to those of us who receive this, to those of us who believe this, we have the right to become sons of God. We're part of God's family. It's just like Ezekiel, who was included into the covenant of God, not because of anything he did, not because of anything we do, because this is the nature of God. And part of this truth that we have to talk about is the other part of this, is that John gives us two conditions. He says that to those who receive him and to those who believe him, that's how we become children of God, which means that every single one of us at some point in our life needs to do what Lindsay did here today. We need to stand up and claim this truth that we have in Jesus Christ. We need to claim this for our own. And this idea of grace, we need grace for salvation, but we need grace for every single of every moment of our life. Even the song Amazing Grace opens up with a line of how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We need God's grace for our salvation. But later in the song, we read this, you know, we sing this line, grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. We need God for every moment. We need God's grace for every single moment of every single day. All we have is a gift from God. We are swimming in God's grace. In fact, verse 16 says this, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Other translations say we have received grace upon grace. God's grace comes at us in waves. I love this image of sitting at the lake. Waves come crashing in. God's grace will just come crashing in on us, one wave after another after another. Our God is full of grace and faithfulness. And just like we know that there will be another wave that follows this one, we know that God is still there and God is faithful. Just like those waves, one right after another, God's promises are true, and he'll be faithful to those promises to you and to me time and time again. Can we let God's grace just wash over us one wave after another? Why does it matter? Because the truth is that we can go through our day, our season, or even a whole year without recognizing God. Sometimes in the busyness and even the good things, it's hard to see God amidst the crazy and the chaos of our lives, right? This year we start a new year, 2020. And because it's the year 2020, we see all kinds of references to Vision 2020. You see this all over. Businesses all over are launching their Vision 2020 for the year. But today I want to give you a different vision of what 2020 could look like, a different type of challenge. And our challenge just really comes to this idea of, can we see God amidst the busyness, the craziness, and the chaos of our life? Can we walk through this year in such a way that we don't miss Jesus? That we are overwhelmed by his faithfulness and his grace? The truth is that 2019 was a very hard year. It was this week last year that I found out that I had cancer. And my year began filled with all kinds of uncertainty, tests, scans, being anxious. And my year ended with one of the most difficult things I've gone through in youth ministry. A couple weeks ago, we were on our way to a youth group outing. We're going to the mall for a scavenger hunt. And one of the vehicles transporting students was in a pretty serious car accident that left one eighth grader in serious condition in the hospital. I've never in my life sat there and been ready for a year to flip. Every year I sit there and say, if this next year is as good as this last year, man, just swimming in God's goodness. But not this year. I'm ready for 2020. I was ready for a new year. We have moments like this, right? We have years like this. We have seasons like this. But even amongst what was the most difficult year that I can remember having, there were so many times that Alicia and I looked out and we just were overwhelmed by the goodness of God. Never once, even in the most difficult times, did we ever have a moment where we didn't see God at work. God was everywhere. And it's not just in the healing. I mean, it's by grace of God, and I'm excited to say that I don't have cancer today. And yes, that's God's grace, but I saw grace every single moment through the actions of other people, through your prayers, through the meals, through the efforts of people to clear out our driveway in the winter, financial help, the words of encouragement. God's grace came at us one wave after another after another. And even with the accident, there were three nurses that were at that intersection that stopped to help. One of those nurses sat there for 45 minutes and just held faith. As she cried and grieved the wreckage that was all around her. And for the last several weeks, we had a front row seat to one of God's great miracles as this girl, Kaylee, went from in a coma, and we weren't sure what life was going to entail for her as her family's world just got flipped upside down. Each and every day, we received one wave of good news after another. God's mercy and grace on full display. But I know that God doesn't always work that way. There's sometimes that we pray to God and we don't see His grace amidst all the chaos and all the brokenness that we see in our world, right? We've been there. We've been in those moments. And no matter how hard we look, we can't see God amidst all the brokenness and all the chaos. But our scripture here today reminds us that God is here. He is alive and He is near us. And He's not moving anywhere soon. Our challenge, this becomes our challenge for this new year. Can we walk through 2020 with our eyes wide open to see God wherever we are? So in those times of blessings, as we're surrounded by family and friends and we're opening up one goodness thing of goodness after another, can we see God's goodness and faithfulness as we're surrounded by all the things we love? Can we take that in and take the time and space to recognize that? Or those moments when you're sitting in the middle of an intersection, surrounded by brokenness and chaos and lives that just got flipped upside down, in those moments, can we see God? Can we feel His grace and His faithfulness, even in those moments where life doesn't make any sense whatsoever? When you're sitting in a doctor's office, can you catch a glimpse of God's mercy and faithfulness, whether it's good news or whether it's bad news? Can we see God is right with us and will never leave us nor forsake us, regardless of whatever that doctor has to say? For those marriages and families that are falling apart, what would God's mercy and faithfulness look like to you? Because it's here and it's real. It's in the flesh and in its blood, and it's right there for us. Or if you're sitting in the mess of the loss of a child, can you see God and feel His grace wash over you one wave at a time? One day at a time. Maybe even one moment at a time. Because sometimes God's grace is just enough to get us through one more moment, one more day. This is our God. A God who shows up in the flesh, in our good times and in our bad. In our good days, can we thank God for our salvation and our blessing? In our bad days, can we lean into His grace and know that He will give us whatever we need for that moment? Our God will never leave us or forsake us. In 2020, may we walk through this year with eyes wide open and recognize and receive God. And may we step into our idea as children of God. That's a beautiful challenge, and that's a beautiful way to approach this new year. Amen.